Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with fans of parquet courts and fans of obscure sports. I'm Adrian, as always, here with Paul. Let's get big factin'. Let's get no cappin'.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
No
cap.
No cap.
Yeah, I remember one time when it was going around academic Twitter, there was a simulate your PhD experience thing where the whole lab did it and they were like, hey, I finished in 4 years or whatever. But it was very dumb. It was like the very much like, it's the third quarter of your second year. What do? Work on your paper or hang out and chill? Were like the options. And it's like, all right, I feel like, yeah, it's very easy to do a PhD if you do it this way.
Do you remember in high school when I showed you and our mutual friend Hunter this game that was like build itself as like a reality simulator? And the concept was like you were born randomly in any country in the world, and then it like played out year by year, asking you to make decisions like what school do your parents send you to, you know, what college do you try to enroll for, and it had like money and stuff. And it was like a game you could play in like 30 to 40 minutes a round of, and see like, you know, I was born in Bangalore, India. Here's how my life turned out. And when I showed it to our friend Hunter, he immediately took the goal of the game of no matter where he was born, he had to immigrate to America. And it wasn't like a bit he was doing. This was just like in his mind. He's like, that's the win state of this game is get to America, right? Like it's go from the third world country to the first world country.
Yeah, it's a pretty good description of how his brain worked. I vaguely don't remember that, but that is that does sound like an interesting game. We do that for a third seg.
I remember it was a little bit broken because I just found out that you could, I don't know, there was like something in the investment mechanic that was like pretty easy to just screw with and make it so that you always got a ton of money.
Ooh, okay. You didn't want to just replicate that in real life?
I don't think it's that easy. Don't they have like really complicated, actually, you know what? People who made billions on Bitcoin did probably think it was that easy. They were like, why didn't everybody do this?
Yeah. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We could all be winners.
We could all be winners. Every year that passes by and Bitcoin goes higher, in the first year of this podcast, we made fun of somebody who invested too much in Bitcoin and lost it all. We just look more and more like fools. That person is just getting richer and richer, whoever that person was in that first year advice column.
That's why you don't come to this podcast to learn anything.
Yeah. Don't take investment advice for Paul and Adrian.
Get into laboo-boos.
That is one of those things where it feels like the wrong time. Like, I bet you, like, invest in a Pop Mart is the people who make Labubu and they've grown a good bit. And it feels like it'd be the wrong time, right? Like, they've probably grown as much as they're going to. But everything I've learned is that, like, honestly,
Labubus are going to the moon.
Yeah, I feel like the stuff is just, like, the bubbles last longer than you think is the, is the only lesson I've learned about investing. It's like, it doesn't matter if something feels like a bubble. It'll be a bubble for a good bit longer. Just jump on it.
Oh, is that the advice? Is invest in generative AI?
Yeah, honestly, it might be a bubble for another 2 or 3 years. Like, it might not be a bad idea. I don't know. It feels like as soon as I started to enact that piece of advice would be when it started to crash, right? That's kind of the classic.
That is how that would go.
Yeah.
You invested so much in Ethan Klein and Destiny just in this last year, and then look what happened to him.
I don't know. Are they doing bad?
I mean, Destiny was outed as a pedophile, and Ethan Klein was always terrible, so I don't know. I think most people kind of
Are they making any less money? It's the internet.
You know what? I'm not pocket checking like that. I don't do that.
Oh, okay. Pocket watching.
I let my neighbor do what my neighbor does, and I focus on me and mine.
Not to get into the theme too early, but I gold medaled in pocket watching. I'm going pro. I'm like how Dorley is with knowing if somebody's Hispanic, but with knowing what their net worth is. Tell me any celebrity.
Ooh, but I can't verify it with celebritynetworth.com because I've heard celebrities talk about how that's not accurate at all.
Yeah, that's kind of like when somebody gets on WikiFeet. It is like a big thing for like mid-tier podcasters who finally get on one of those websites to be like, I do not have $10 million. Why does celebritynetworth.com think I do?
Yeah. That is, I don't know, that's, I feel like that, was it like just 1 year that website was big and actually made money, or like, is that just still a thing that people, who's going there? Like, I don't understand what the service it's providing is.
Making up fake net worth for YouTubers.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, yeah. Maybe that is got a second life with the YouTubers.
I feel like that's what I've always seen it for. I mean, with the big celebrities, I think there's probably more proof because you can kind of get a sense of like, I think when like Tom Cruise is set to star in a new movie, a lot of times they do disclose his how much he's getting for that movie. It's like YouTubers and you're like,
pocket watching like that.
And I'm pocket watching like that.
People with Patreons.
Yeah.
You got to do the minimum calculation to see how much money they would make each month.
Oh, that's true. There is a little bit more info for them. Yeah. We should do that. That would be a fun third segment.
Who makes the most on Patreon?
Well, just like see if our idea of who's making good money actually correlates to who is making good money in like the creator space.
Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah, shout out to Khadija Mbo, who just left YouTube today. She or they are going full on just Patreon videos now.
Oh, that seems like a good idea, but it also it's like, if it feels like you've set a ceiling for yourself, like you're going to grow a lot slower from there. Like maybe you've decided that your audience is big enough, but
yeah, they also want to do more live shows. So that's what they're focusing on.
Mm. I guess that can like grow your audience. If you're going city to city, people will invite people and that can grow your name too. What do they do?
They very generously called a trip to Chicago and New York a tour, but you know, technically a tour. That's two stops.
Yeah, regional tours are very funny when people are going to like four cities around them.
Yeah, I mean they're Canadian, so I guess that is their view of the U.S. is Chicago, New York, maybe L.A. but yeah, they do feminism, racism stuff. You know, critical theory.
Got you, Canadians.
Actually, more pop analysis. Yeah,
Canadians see the U.S. like Australians do.
Yeah,
it's California, New York.
You're gonna go to Chicago? Yeah. Fly over those other states.
I feel like that's a genre of video where it's like foreign YouTubers do like their best guess about what the state map is, and then it's like they get Texas, California, New York, and then they just say like funny things for the rest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like that's where you guys your corn comes from, I assume, or something like
that.
That one's West Dakota. That one's East Dakota.
Exactly. You understand where the humor comes from. You got it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen memes of the results of that before. I don't think I've ever seen a video of someone going through it.
When are we going to get our moms to name various Pokemon for the viral content?
All the Smash characters?
Yeah.
That's a good...
And then it turns out one of our moms knows them really well.
I don't think my mom is old enough for it to be funny. I don't think she's going to be like that old lady who calls Charmander Hamilton. He looks like a nice boy.
Yeah, I don't think my mom would get the assignment. She'd just be like, I don't know. Why are you asking me this? And she wouldn't come up with like a funny improv name for each one.
She doesn't yes and. That's crazy behavior.
I know. That one's Pikachu. That one's green Pikachu. That one's red Pikachu. Ooh. For Charmander. That's the type of funny stuff we need our moms to come up with real time. So people can go, oh, they're so silly.
All right. Do you have any media roundup or anything to bring in?
Yeah. I watched a movie that I really enjoyed and I hadn't seen a lot of people talking about, so I thought I would give it a shout out on the pod. Despite the fact that it had a few stars in it, it had Jacob Elordi and Ayo Edebiri. How do you pronounce her last name?
Edebiri?
Edebiri? Yeah, it had Ayo Edebiri and Jacob Elordi in it. Have you heard of The Sweet East? It came out last year or 2 years ago, 2023. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one. I think you would like it.
I thought you were going to talk about Opus.
Good movie. It's about like a South Carolina teenager who goes to DC on a field trip and basically just kind of like runs away, and that is traveling across America. And it seems like it's about like radicalism in America, but it's mostly a comedy, but it's semi-surreal. And yeah, I mean, there was no boring part to the movie. It's not like a 5-star, but it's just so good for something that clearly has a small budget. So well done. Pretty funny. I'll give semi-spoilers for like the type of humor that's in the movie. This is like kind of the opening scene is in DC when she gets split from her field trip group. It's because they're in a restaurant that gets Comet ping-ponged, basically. Like a guy comes in with a gun. It's like, where are you keeping the children? Where's the basement? Show me the basement. And then she's like trying to escape, like, I gotta get out of here. And somebody's like, oh, I know a way through. And he pulls off a portrait from the wall and they walk through a hole. And it's just a basement that's clearly for trafficking children that they have to walk through. And that's how they escape out to the world. And then it's just like, yeah, everything in the movie is kind of like totally like that. Like just a little surreal, a little cheeky. Oh, and I watched Weapons, and I think I probably had the same read as you. Not as good as Barbarian, but still really good. Fun watch. Would also recommend.
Nice. Was that it?
That's it.
Cool. I guess it has been a while since we recorded, but all I had was that I went to the Oakland Zoo for the first time, mostly to teach kids, but I had some free time afterwards to actually check out the zoo. It's kind of a small zoo, and it kind of has like a gondola that takes you up to a really big area that was closed by the time I got out. So I got to see most of it, which is not that much, but it was pretty fun. It was a nice zoo. I do like that unlike the DC Zoo, the Oakland Zoo has a plan for, hey, we're built on a hill. Let's have like a way of getting people up and down without them having to walk uphill for a long time. And then, I watched with the little undergrad and with Pierce. I went to go watch Beau Travail. Which is, hold on, let me look up who the director is. The director's famous. She's,
Oh, and I watched Superman. What a stinker of a movie. I can't believe people were trying to gaslight me into saying that that was a good movie.
Oh, well. It's Claire Denis. And it was interesting because it was kind of a movie where nothing happened. It was beautifully shot. I kept telling Spencer afterwards, I was like, we're revoking your, because Spencer picked the movie. I was like, we're revoking your privileges to pick movies. It wasn't a bad movie. It was a French art house movie that isn't beating the allegations that every French art house movie is a sad clown in black and white smoking a cigarette for an hour and a half. But I did, I think 2 days after I thought about it, and I was like, oh, I should check to see if anyone on Reddit's talked about that. I can't imagine that people have. And there are so many threads on it because it's a very like famous classic French movie. And like there's a lot of people online who are like, that is my favorite movie of all time. Nothing really happens, but that's the point. Some people talk about it as if it's a an extended visual poem or something. And I'm like, cool. I guess I appreciate it a little bit more in that sense, but still didn't do much for me.
How long was it?
About like an hour 40. I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah, that feels like a little too long for something that abstract.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that abstract. It's just about French troops in somewhere in Africa training for a battle that never comes. And one of the officers gets in trouble. And that's the movie. Yeah, that's all I had.
Cool. You want to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it. We're officially calling it the Ocho, or what are we calling it? Obscure sports?
Yeah. Either or. I think that gets to it.
I looked it up. The Ocho originated as a joke on Dodgeball and then became a real TV program in response.
And do you ever watch, to be clear to the audience, ESPN, The Ocho, do you ever watch that channel? Do you have it on?
No, I don't think I have satellite like that. But it's the kind of thing that you can sometimes see at bars if it's a bar that has like 16 TVs and needs to throw something on one of them. So that's actually what the original inspiration for this theme was. Was last time I was house sitting a while ago, a few months ago, I was at the Chili's and there was professional pillow fighting on the screen. And there was a lady who was very joyfully talking about it with the person next to her. And I was like, oh, yeah, we should do that as a theme. It's like lawnmower racing or like wife carrying, all of those sports where you're like playing soccer, but you have to dance the whole time or whatever.
For those sorts of things, how do they collect the players that they consider professionals? Or is it just whoever does show up just gets to play and be on TV? Like how-
I heard someone talk about their experience with the dance soccer one. I can't remember what it's called. It's called like disco foot or something like that. But the way they described it was like, it seems like the kind of thing where like you go on a college campus and there's kids doing it in the quad. And that's just like the people who get recruited to do this sport is whoever goes to college and is like, oh, that looks fun. I guess I'll do that to make friends.
Okay, so it is formalized. Like, there is a league. In this interview you watched, let's dig into dancing soccer. In this interview you watched, did they discuss the
rules?
Not an
interview I watched, but...
Oh, I thought you said saw somebody like talking about it.
Yeah, it was like a commentary channel.
Did they explain the rules as part of the commentary? I feel like they need to repeat that pretty frequently. Like, is it what counts as dancing? What do the refs flag you on?
It's freestyle dancing, but you can win the game solely by being the better dancers because that also is part of the score.
Oh, so there's judges for the dance quality. Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
For how funky you are, yeah.
Can you, how many points would you have to get to just not dance at all? Like how, like,
I don't, indeed, they did not discuss the strategy of just not participating in the main point of the sport. That was not one of the main chapters of the video.
What I'm saying is, if you got a Man U in there, and they just ran up the score.
And if you can score 50 goals, it doesn't really matter that you don't dance at all. Yeah, yeah. If you refuse to participate in the theme or idea of the sport, could you still win?
Could you still win if you got zero dancing points, but all soccer points?
That's a good point. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we should have done more research for this, because I guess it's the same for chess boxing. Like, you hear about it, and people always kind of mention it as, like, this funny thing that exists, but how much of it is chess and how much of it is boxing, and how do they play into each other?
I don't know. Speed chess was also on the programming for the Ocho.
Oh, interesting. Speed chess is like an actual, like, thing real chess players engage in.
These are actual sports. Yeah.
Yeah, but
what are you talking about? All these
most soccer players don't also play dance soccer, but a lot of professional chess players also play timed chess games.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also freestyle chess, which I didn't really know what that meant.
Oh. There's a lot of variants of chess. Maybe freestyle is the one where the back set of the more powerful pieces is like randomized, like those get shifted into a random order and then you play. But let me see chess boxing. I'm going to figure out the rules. I guess we can start more generically.
Yeah, from what I saw on the Wikipedia page for the Ocho, the main piece of programming that they have now is the Savannah Bananas that have taken over recently, as we've talked about before.
Yeah, man, the Savannah Bananas are everywhere. We really need to get ourselves to a game.
Yeah.
I saw a, like, 10-year-old at the airport with a Savannah Banana flat brim on. And I was like, that's how you know that it's in the cultural zeitgeist if children want the flat brim.
We made it.
For chess boxing, the match consists of 11 alternating rounds of chess and boxing, starting and ending with chess. The same game is continued across rounds, so you're not playing a full game between rounds. You have 3 minutes for each round. You can either win by getting a knockout in boxing, checkmate in chess. So, okay, they don't really, like, play into each other. It's not like if you're doing better in chess, you get your opponent gets a handicap or something in the boxing ring. It's just first person to win at one or the other.
Yeah, that's kind of what I assumed.
Okay. Once again, if you're just a really good boxer, can you just knock out one of these chess boxing losers in the first round? Just like, I guess.
Well, you have to survive the first 3 minutes of chess.
You'd have to survive the first 3 minutes of chess, and then you could.
That could be like the French Scrabble champion who doesn't know any French. It's like the number one chess boxer who doesn't really know how to play chess at all. He doesn't even know the rules.
Somebody just taught him how to shuffle his pawns around in a way that made it hard for the opponent to win in 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a bad strategy, actually. Just like move your bishop back and forth, give them no way to checkmate you in that time span.
And then hit him real hard in the face. There's a Mike Tyson quote about that. I think he was talking about chess boxing.
What other weird sports are on your mind?
Lawnmower racing, any kind of form of like, oh, it's a regular sport, but we do it on bikes or we do it on some other kind of thing. Yeah, like bike polo. I think they're derivations of ping pong, slam ball, some of those things that you see. Like you're like those sports that you see in the park sometimes where you're like, oh, when did they invent that sport?
Yeah, where it looks like another sport but with the wrong ball, kind of like what ultimate frisbee is, where but even more random and abstract.
Let's see, I have the Wikipedia page up. Let's see. Kickball, mailboat jumping, Swiss stone tossing, outhouse races. I feel like I've heard about that, but I don't actually know what that is. Golden Tee golf. I don't know what that is. World Dog Surfing Championships. That's pretty cool. One-wheel racing, so racing on various items that you don't do in the lawnmower, stuff like that. Card jutsu, I don't know what that is, but that sounds pretty cool. Along with the Microsoft Excel World Championship Finals.
You know what I see sometimes scrolling through YouTube shorts is the Red Bull Games puts on, it seems semi-frequently, like a thing where you have to have a weird vehicle that's usually like, it looks like cardboard cutout around a tandem bicycle. And people have to bike down an increasingly thin boardwalk. And it just seems like it's really hard to stay on it. And then there's like water on both sides. And it just is people crashing into the water. I don't know how regimented that is.
Yeah, I think I've seen them do a lot of different things with Red Bull. Like, there was one where it was people like going off of a ramp and trying to grab a rope or something, where it doesn't necessarily seem like the same event every time, but they're always doing some kind of little challenge. Yeah. I guess that also kind of gets into the world of like American Ninja Warrior and Wipeout, or like those kind of shows on TV. I did spend a little bit of time trying to find an American Ninja Warrior, a warrior column, but couldn't find one that was an advice column.
Yeah, like alternatives on obstacle courses where the joy is just basically seeing the people wipe out and fall in the water.
Mm-hmm. Well, the joy for me in watching American Ninja Warrior is seeing someone accomplish things they never thought they could accomplish, and their beautiful story about how what are the sappy stories on American Ninja Warrior? What are those about? About how they beat cancer and now their goal is to beat the American Ninja Warrior course.
Yeah, that is pretty common. It is always somebody who's like, it's a second wind in their life as far as like athletics. It's the same type of person who gets really into like triathlons. And then there's the world of like, I don't know if indigenous sports is the right word, but like rural sports with Ireland and Scotland, where it's things like running on a log in the water or lifting a log and tossing it.
A lot of log-based sports.
A lot of log-based sports up there. And then there's the... And then there's like the weird city sports where it's like one city does this every year where they all, I guess like the most famous one is
one ball or whatever.
Yeah. Or like the running from the bulls is like probably the most famous one. Stuff like that. I feel like can definitely get televised and put on the Ocho.
Corgi races. Yeah. The Red Bull Flugtag. I don't know what that is. Ludwig streamer games. So we got some e-gaming on there.
Yeah.
They got a little bit of everything for everybody. Yeah. And then, yeah, like I said, it came from the movie Dodgeball. When was the last time you played Dodgeball?
You know, I don't think they ever pulled it out in the 1 year of gym we had to take in high school, so middle school must have been the last time I played dodgeball. Yeah.
Damn, I think I played in college.
Really? Like, in a regimented way, or just, like, you and a bunch of people decided to go play dodgeball?
That kind of way. Maybe, like, they had, like, the supplies out from intramural.
Was it the cool college way where it was a drinking game? Every time you got hit, you had to go take a shot?
No, I think this was freshman year at the actual gym, so although that would have been cool.
Yeah, a lot of it feels like the type of stuff me and my friends just decided to do in middle or high school in the neighborhood. Like
put pool noodles on PVC pipes and get on unicycles and try and
joust,
knock each other off.
Yeah, bike jousting was a big one. Scooter soccer was another big one. We played probably way too much for such a made-up game. That one was brutal because it actually hurt a lot to get knocked off your scooter, and there was a lot of ramming into each other full speed. I remember that's when I learned the expression, like, getting the wind knocked out of you was like a literal thing. Like, you can get hit so hard in the stomach that you like completely lose your lung full of air. And I was like, oh God, that felt horrible. I hated that.
You just gotta give him a minute. You gotta walk it off.
Yeah, we used to play like a lot of soccer, tennis.
Oh yeah, that was a game that I used to play with Dorley and my dad all the time, where we used to go to Gibson Park to play that. I played it with Phil, I think, the most recently when he was visiting in California. We played it out at Andy's house, the tennis courts near his house. Yeah, I love that game. It's so fun.
Yeah. I don't know if is that something where people have like codified a rule set? Because it was definitely just something we did instinctively where we were like, oh yeah, rule of not using your hand and you just have a soccer ball, it like pretty much just works perfectly and it's fun from the get-go where you're like, okay, we can just do this.
Yeah. Sometimes we would differ on whether or not you could only get one bounce or not. I think sometimes we played a freestyle unlimited. As long as it stayed up, you could keep the ball in play.
Oh yeah, I think we did like a regular tennis rules of one bounce, but
that's if we were playing competitive.
This feels like such an Adrian bit in retrospect, but I remember my neighbor Josh coining the term Cambodian slam, and it was just when he did a certain soccer tennis hit back really hard, and he was a pretty athletic guy, and just one day I was like, why Cambodian slam? Why do you shout that when you do that hit? Is that something you've heard or from Cambodia? He's like, no, I just thought it sounded good together. And I was like, okay, Cambodian slam.
That sounds pretty good. Could you do a Cambodian slam?
I think I tried it a couple times because it looked so cool when he did it, but it wasn't the same, man.
That is something I've never been able to do, is get a good hard shot in ping pong off correctly. Whenever I go for it, I always mess it up.
It's because you're in your head.
I'm a much more defensive ping pong player.
Get the yips.
I just never get it down enough. Yeah. Oh, and cornhole. I forgot about cornhole.
Oh. Yeah, that could make for good viewing.
I can see that being fun.
That's definitely a sport where it like harkens back to the early 20th century, where it's going to be like a fat guy with a cigarette's going to be the best person at cornhole.
Mm-hmm. Almost certainly. Like the Turkish pistol shooter who got famous from the last Olympics. Someone like that.
Oh, interesting.
With a real relaxed style.
Yeah, yeah.
He's always eating a bucket of fried chicken at each event. That's part of his strategy, is a little bit of that grease. Shout out to Pierce and I went to go check out the new big bowling arcade pool hall thing that opened up near my house. And we played two rounds of beer pong, the electronic one, and I was kicking Pierce's ass at it. And I was like, hand in my pocket, real cash, doing it behind the back and shit. Embarrassing for Pierce.
You know, oh man, what's that place in Charlotte called that I took you, the Blind Pig? They had one of those too, and you're really good at it there too. Electronic beer pong really seems to be a sport you excel at.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to win Hoop Fever, so.
Well, come on, with our friends. Phil is investing on getting a Hoop Fever in his house right now.
I think it'd be cool. I think I've asked him before what team he would want on it, because I don't actually know what NBA team he supports, but maybe he'll just get like a college basketball team on it. Or maybe he'll get whatever team Caitlin Clark's on.
I forgot. Phil's an ally, first and foremost. Although, is Caitlin Clark, it's like she's progressive coded because it's a WNBA, but she's also kind of conservative coded because she's a white woman in the WNBA. So it's
getting harassed by those mean black women in the league.
I know.
That's what you always said. Those uppity black women always getting up in Caitlin Clark's face.
Adrian, when I say off pod, stays off pod, okay?
Thank God we have Sophie Cunningham to go beat them mean ladies.
So yeah, I don't know where she stands in this cultural landscape.
No, you're kind of right. She kind of could be coded either way. We could see a heel turn from her. Any other weird sports that you've played before that you've wanted to play? Would you want to do professional pillow fighting? Just to do that spin move?
Is professional pillow fighting like boxing? Like, is the goal to get a knockout? Like, are they... is this like... Or is it a touches type thing? Like, you got a touch on your opponent?
It's like a very old school, no rules thing where you're allowed to stuff whatever you want in the pillowcase. So, there are people putting...
Oh, okay. It's prison style.
No one really
style.
Checks that you have a pillow in there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Two-part question. Did you do any interesting sports in college or witness any of Quidditch or whatever? And then have you ever thought of joining an adult league to play a sport? Because some of the stuff like kickball, like that's very accessible. I could join an adult league and start playing kickball next week.
No, I never joined an adult league. And I didn't even really hear about weird sports at Clemson. I'm sure we had them, but I don't remember it being.
Clemson seems like a place for horse girls. I bet you guys had the
equestrian.
The, what is it?
Horse
equestrian, but it's like people on the sticks with horses' heads or whatever.
Which is still cooler than adult Quidditch. So,
which is basically just lacrosse.
Is that the rule set for adult Quidditch?
That's the tool set, right? Is they just use the lacrosse nets, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. So they have to hold on to two things, the broom and the lacrosse stick? That seems hard.
I think so, yeah. Oh, you actually have a lot of respect for this game?
Yeah, now I'm realizing.
I got to put some respect on their name. That's a tough game.
No, did you have anything like that other than when you went to play dodgeball?
Well, our friends back home played kickball for a season, and they named their team after me being dead, which was crazy. But for me, played pickleball with Dorley when I was in Portland. I would join a league for sure if there was one. Actually, there is one here. I'm just lazy. I should get on doing that. And anything else? I forgot to mention, for a while, I was looking at BattleBots for an advice column, but I couldn't find a good one. But yeah, if I could go back to like middle school robotics team and join and start doing killer robots, that'd be pretty cool.
That seems like you have to have a... like engineering skill, right? Or are you going to come in as they've already built the robot and they're like, we need the best pilot for this robot we've ever seen?
Yeah, I would be the pilot, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd let the nerds do the nerd shit and then I'd do the... So wait, how complicated is it? How is it that there are like seventh grade teams that are doing that then?
I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things where like there's a standard sort of construction you can do where you can make little modifications versus like at the highest level building it from the ground up.
Gotcha.
Isabel has mentioned before that like the weird sport in the fencing world is the people who do medieval sword fighting.
Big Q-tip or whatever, and you have to try and hit somebody off of a inflatable thing.
That's more like American Ninja Warrior. Fencing. But medieval sword fighting is like where they try to make it look more like real sword fighting, whereas fencing is, you know, a very standardized rule set that came out of like nobles dueling sort of thing that's very disconnected from what sword fighting really is.
So for medieval style, you're using like actual broadswords or something? Or instead
yeah,
of little,
I think so.
Epées?
It seems like there's a real opportunity to hurt a person, but it doesn't seem like the people doing it are really, like, it feels like it's not like they're actually going to slam a broadsword into the side of each other's heads if they get the opportunity. Like, how do you balance making it realistic without making it dangerous? You know what I mean? How does that play into it? I don't know.
I think some people go into it with a bloodlust. Have you ever paintballed?
Yeah. A handful of times in my life. It's always really fun.
Damn, I've never done it. It's on my bucket list.
I think I've seen it televised in a non-Ocho setting, too. Like, I think,
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That actually, now that you brought it back to television, that makes me think of professional tag. I've definitely seen on TV before.
Yeah.
It does always look pretty cool.
That was one of the things I was trying to find a column for, was tag.
Speaking of columns, do you want to go first or second?
I don't mind, either way.
I have mine open, and I sent it to you, so let's go ahead and just do mine first. Mine does have a little bit to do about shooting them up. All right. From July 19th, 2018. Dear Amy, I'm a woman working for a software startup. We are all millennials. I really enjoy my job, except for this. Picture a group of, mostly male, software developers shooting Nerf guns at each other, with Nerf darts whistling past you, hitting windows, office equipment, and other employees. There is nowhere to physically hide, quote-unquote, from these battles. Only a few higher-ups have offices. I'm caught in the crossfire on a daily, sometimes hourly basis, and have gotten hit by darts multiple times. If it's somewhere below my neck, it doesn't really bother me that much. But recently, I was hit in the back of the head. I just think this goes beyond normal workplace fun, and is a huge distraction. A few months ago, another employee got hit in the eye and had to seek medical attention for a scratched cornea. Am I overreacting here, or do I have valid concerns? Is this an HR issue, or should I accept this as a normal office activity that management knows about? I don't want to voice my concerns for fear of being labeled difficult to work with, but at the same time, I don't think it's too much to ask not to have to worry about getting injured at work in an office. I'm pretty sure there are quite a few other coworkers who quietly feel the same way, but I suspect they are also afraid of voicing concern and being labeled a bad apple. From Battlescarred. Paul, is this like the tech startups that you worked at?
No, I've never worked at a tech startup.
You never worked at a place where everyone just sat on balls as their desk chairs and then shot Nerf guns at each other?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And there was dog poop everywhere because every single person brought in their dog every day. It was equal parts company, equal parts doggy daycare for some reason. I think don't bring nothing to a Nerf gun fight. You got to bring a real gun, one up them.
I think HR should provide everyone with one if they're going to have daily Nerf battles. That should be part of your onboarding. Although they're going to have that one guy who obviously invests in a way better gun and has like an automatic machine gun Nerf gun.
You just got to show up one day with like eye paint under your eyes.
Knife?
Like green. You got to go full Rambo. Have a Nerf knife. You take it way too seriously one day and just ruin it for everybody. That's crazy that they let it go on after somebody actually scratched their cornea. How did that not freak anybody out? Like, oh, what's the liability on this?
Yeah, that is an interesting question. And also, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how that gets handled in an adult situation where so who's going to be, I guess it would be HR who's going to be like, hey, we have to be the adult in this situation. We can't be doing this anymore.
I guess startups might have small HRs. It might be the only problem there. Or it's like one of those things, this feels like a classic.
Or they're actually the ones who like it the most.
Yeah, and where HR is the one who's the most into it. You go to HR to report the problem and he's shooting you as you walk in through the office door. You're out
get
today.
Get bitch.
So why'd you come to see me?
What was I going to say? Oh yeah, that was freshman year of college when I first moved in with Patrick and we had to sign a roommate agreement. Preemptively and as part of being in the honors dorm, one of our agreed upon rules was it's Nerf or nothing. So I kind of understand where they're coming from here.
Yeah, that was in high school. Do you remember in my car, I always kept like a single shot, like it was like a little Nerf handgun, and just constantly ask myself, why do I keep this in my car? I never use it. The only thing that happens
it's
is whoever.
It's just for other people to shoot you while you're driving.
I was like, all this, I just get shot constantly by every passenger I bring in this car. What? Yeah. Why? I should really stop having this in here.
It was that and that little bag of scent.
Incense.
Whatever you call it. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. How complicated are Nerf guns now? Do you think you could get a really good one and just body everybody?
Tell them you have a foam allergy?
That seems like exactly what they're saying they're worried about, is that they're going to be the source of everyone's fun being ruined.
You need to implement a line down the center of this office. One half is Nerf, one half is people who want to opt out of Nerf.
That's actually pretty sensible. I mean, I'm sure you'd need like some actual kind of physical barrier. It seems like they're in one of those bullshit open office plans or whatever, but
Like,
I mean, that's not a bad idea.
Getting shot in the back of the head seems like you're in somebody's like through line to another person they want to shoot more than it's just like,
that's true. You're an innocent bystander.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, this is bullshit and it should end, but maybe there's like a reasonable request you can make that would make it clear that they shouldn't be shooting near you. Like, hey, why don't we only have Nerf in one area or something? That would kind of send a message without sounding like you're trying to get rid of it for everybody.
How are they doing multiple spontaneous rounds of Nerf battling each day? I don't understand.
Oh, yeah, you don't. In software, you always have the excuse of my code's compiling. I'm joking. That's actually kind of gone nowadays. It compiles pretty quickly. That seems like more of a 90s thing where you could be like, oh, I need like 30, 40 minutes.
You need about 35, 40 more, 5 minutes. Might as well play some Nerf. I don't know. It's just so funny to me, the idea of having to go back to your family and be like, oh, yeah, I went to the hospital today. I got a cornea scratch from a Nerf gun. That my very real job that I go to
Jacob,
every day.
Jacob, you're 45. What is going on, dude?
My code was compiling.
We want grandkids. What is going on in your life, son?
Yeah, has there been anything like this in your job before? Anything a little too wacky for your taste?
For my taste, no. I was part of the contingent of people who took too many breaks to play foosball at one of my jobs. But I guess that was...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The closest that ever got was if you get a really strong hit, sometimes a ball can pop out. And if somebody else was in the break room, there was a moment where you're like, that doesn't look good that they like just saw a ball fly across their face while they were at the sink. But... doesn't make us look like we're working hard, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, hey, you're working pretty hard, you're working up a sweat.
Do these offices exist anymore? I feel like this is 2000/2010s coded. Is anybody doing this in the 2020s?
I don't know. Did DEI and tech work and now we have a more female representation that presumably means that there's less bros who want to do Nerf all the time?
Oh, got you. So now it's...
Or if we DEI'd Nerf to where women are now into Nerf too, and so even though it's an equal workplace, they everyone just is into Nerf.
Now there's just men who are like, oh, there's too much makeup tutorialing going on in the office. I can't get any work done.
Oh, yeah. All these spontaneous makeup sessions. All these spontaneous story times while they put on their makeup.
Hire a bunch of guys off Fiverr to come in as personal security with Nerf guns.
Ooh. That's a smart idea. I was going to say work really hard at your job and get promoted to the corner office.
Ooh.
Strategic. You don't got to guard your six. You can just blast away from there.
I agree with this idea, but if you up the ante but not enough, then it's just encouraging them to keep playing harder. That's why you got to go real gun. You have to up the ante so far. They give in immediately.
Yeah. Sure enough. Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't make you look like a bad apple. It makes you look like a cool, sane dude.
I want to know how this person reacted when they got pinged in the back of the head, because you would think if there was any emotional intelligence from the other employees, they'd be like, oh, it looks like they hated that and don't want this to keep going. Or is this just like, is this what startup millennial tech offices were like, that there was zero awareness and they were just like, that was sweet. Wonder why she looked annoyed.
Yeah, I mean, if it's tech bros surrounded by other tech bros in charge of other tech bros, that might honestly be what the situation
is. Yeah, that they're not catching the hints that some people are getting annoyed.
They're like, what was that face she made when she got hit in the back of the head? Do you think she wants to sleep with me?
Do you think she was jealous of what a good shot that was? I could train her.
You think she was jealous of how much better my code is?
Do you think she wants help getting better at Nerf? We better buy her a really nice Nerf gun.
Well, maybe the best advice is just start walking around like Daft Punk.
Install something more fun in the office. Buy Hoop Fever and put it in the break room. You just got to get them off Nerf.
Yeah, spend a couple thou. Yeah, just drop a couple thou.
Whatever. This is a tech startup. Convince the higher ups to drop that couple thou on it.
Yeah, that's true. That would be fun. Right next to the Hoop Fever in the arcade was the soccer version of that, where you have a little goalie and you kick little balls at it. I love that they had a little soccer representation, which I think is necessary, because if there's anything I know about West Sac, it is where all the Latinos in Sacramento are, but I guess besides South Sac. But it's a very soccer-heavy part of town.
Wait, Latinos have West Sac and South Sac? Okay.
We taking over. Yeah, they're deploying the National Guard over here. I did start doing that thing with Pierce. I guess he watches it in like football or baseball orientation, but I do watch content where it's like, I'm going to this game, let's see what the most obscure jersey I see is, because I was like, there's a bunch of soccer jerseys here, I'm going to start making note of what we got.
Oh, I had my first IRL National Guard in DC sighting, and it was like 20 dudes kitted out surrounding a five guys, I swear to God, all sides. I was like, what?
Oh my God.
What is
we must protect
there?
The burger. We must protect the burger.
It really felt like that. It felt like a Frenchman doing a bit about America.
Were you going to that five guys, or were you just passing by that five
passing
guys?
By. But I swear, I saw them on the back of the building, like three people standing with their backs to the building. Then they were near the door. I swear. They had this five guys specifically on lock. It was, I don't know, it was too
much. That's crazy. I wonder what's going on in the basement of that five guys.
We will not allow five guys to go woke. We heard this podcast, Big Facts, No Cap, where one of the hosts made a joke about it becoming five trans women. We will not allow that to happen.
All right, do you want to hear the answer?
Yeah, let's hear serious advice. Yeah, talk to somebody higher up and be like, this is ridiculous. We either need to set a place where they're allowed to
keep
play
it
Nerf
anonymous somehow. Yeah,
we need to set a portion of the office where Nerf is allowed that's kind of far away from everybody else, or you need to just get rid of Nerf as a every moment thing. There needs to be Nerf club for people who are still in the office after five or something.
I would say fake that you were at a mass shooting and that this is traumatizing for you.
Oh.
Pretend to be one of the survivors of one of those, yeah. Really steal some valor there.
Yeah. Me and David Hogg are tight like that.
The timeline works out.
Yeah. I was one of the Sandy Hook kids.
Well, he was Parkland, right?
Oh. There's a shooting in America every 20 minutes, Adrian. You want me to keep them all sectioned off in my head, which one was which?
No, you're right. That'd be ridiculous. All right, let's see what Amy has to say about this. All right. Dear Battlescarred, I don't have much personal insight into the crazy world of Silicon Valley, so I asked my friends, Axios tech journalist Ina Fried, for some advice. Here's her response. While it's great that your colleagues have so much enthusiasm, you certainly have the right to do your work without having to constantly worry about friendly fire. That said, no one wants to be known as the office killjoy, so some diplomacy makes sense too. I recommend talking to HR privately. Say that while you want your coworkers to have fun, it's starting to get out of hand, and you're concerned for your own safety and productivity, as well as for the company. Really, if someone already has a scratched cornea, they should understand they have a problem. You can also mention that you value having fun at work and have tried to think of some alternatives. Maybe the company can designate a game time, that way everyone who likes turning the office into a Nerf firing range can do so. Or perhaps there is one part of the office, away from the desks, that could be used for such activities. And if they aren't open to that, you might want to consider a strategic retreat. I would add that this is yet another way that tech companies are earning their reputation as hostile work environments to women and other people who don't like to behave like they're in a frat house. Please stand up for your own rights.
Hey, hit all the points we hit.
We got a guest spot in there, yeah.
Once again, it is funny when advice column calls in a more specific expert
to give pretty blasé advice that we were also able to come up with. All right, yeah, do you want to get to your column?
All right, Adrian, I'm bringing in Ask Anna from ultiworld.com, and it's not a website dedicated to Denzel Curry. It's actually a website dedicated to Ultimate Frisbee players. So there's an Ultimate nice. Frisbee advice column from March 19th, 2019. We're going to do the bottom one. on this page. Question. At the end of our tournaments, our team always shotguns beers or does some sort of drinking activity. I'm not into it, but I get mildly heckled if I decline. It's not that I don't drink, I do, at parties or over dinner, but I don't like to drink after I play. What do I do to hang out with my team, which I like being around without feeling pressured into chugging beers? Signed, Not Thirsty in New York.
All right.
Well, we have a very real problem here. This person is being mildly heckled.
Yeah. And are still allowed to hang out and be around.
Yeah. But they might get slightly razzed. The worst thing that can happen to a person.
I mean, very obvious. Number one, fake shotgunning the beer. Do a thing where you put it behind your, you know, you do the old perspective thing and go glug, 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 glug.
Keep doing that bit, and they're like, are you actually going to drink it? You're like, of course I am, and then you do another one, and they're like, you just keep going as long as you can.
Yeah, because this is what's interesting to me. It's like, it kind of feels like if the issue is that they're going out and drinking afterwards and you don't want to drink, sure. If it's they're shotgunning a beer, that's a two-minute activity? Like, at the most, like, what are you missing out on? What does that actually mean? Is it just that the rest of it becomes about you not doing it with them then, or what?
It doesn't seem like it does, because they use mildly razzed, which just means people being like, ah, come on, don't be a wimp.
Yeah.
We're all chugging. Yeah, bars and restaurants are just very easy organizing places, especially if you're in a city you don't know. Like, what are you going to do? Insist you find, like, a nice public non-drinking space? Like, that's going to be pretty hard. Like, it makes sense to end up at a bar after a tournament, right?
Yeah, for sure. Also, that would be you taking away everyone else's opportunity to drink, which it seems like they like to do. So that's another bad apple type thing where you're going to become the annoying person.
I think this is a... clear-cut case of you really have no ground to stand on. You just got to put up with getting razzed a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. You got to get used to that. And it seems like you're pretty comfortable with where you're at. So I don't know. That's keep your spine strong, dog.
Also, Ultimate does seem like a sport that, unless you're like maybe in the highest level of play, is a lot about the social aspect of like going out and hanging out with the team. Like it's, I guess these people are going away for tournaments, so maybe it's a more serious team, but it seems like a lot of people who play Ultimate, they're in it for the, like, it's a good way to get exercise in and then hang out with some buddies.
Yeah, also, it's Ultimate Frisbee, so none of these guys are that cool, so I don't think it matters that much they don't think you're cool.
That's true. That's very true.
There's a pretty low ceiling on how cool any of these guys could be. Okay, there's two things you could do. I drink at parties or over dinner. Okay, one. Get a plate of spaghetti while you're shotgunning your beer. Mm-hmm. Two, frame it as a party. Just in your head, frame it as this is our party after the tournament, so I can drink.
That's true. I do think if they don't want to drink, there should be that option.
Yeah, getting mildly razzed. That's the cost of it. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah. I mean, that's my point. It's like, if it was more than that, if they were being like actually weird to you about it, that's... a point where you'd be like, these people are weirdos who can't accept a boundary. But mildly razzed is not refusing to accept a boundary.
Yeah.
What you need to do is get an alcoholic on the team who doesn't drink at all. So then it's normal for some people not to be drinking. So then there's no, like, everybody would feel bad about razzing you for not drinking if there was another person on the team who absolutely had... never drank. They'd be like, okay, we have
now
to
Now you're messing
understand.
Up the team chemistry by bringing in newbies.
Oh.
Unless it's an Italian kid or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Unless it's two Italian brothers, and then they're going to bring the team together.
Yeah. Then you guys all just slurp one long spaghetti noodle after your games.
What's beer in Italian? Beer. Italian is so easy.
It's so easy. It's a beer.
It's a beer.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any experience to offer? Any stories or ideas?
I don't think I've... It is a weird thing that they're razzing you like a bunch of bros. When was the last time that happened to you if you said no to a beer? I can't think of a time people
last
have...
Last week, I didn't say no to a drink. I literally was just drinking too slow for Pierce's liking, and he started razzing me.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's my story.
He was like, I thought you were fun, Adrian.
Yeah, he was like, you're not even taking real sips. Come on.
I thought you knew how to have a good time.
I was just enjoying my little cherry cider. It was delicious.
We don't usually like to tell the advice ask her that they asked the wrong question. But it feels like you asked the wrong question, not what do I do with the team which I like being around without feeling pressured into chugging beer. The question is, how do I not feel bullied for not chugging a beer? And how you don't feel bullied is, I don't know. Oh, what are the things they taught us? Remember when we had to do DARE and they taught you the things you're supposed to say if somebody's pressuring you into drinking? I'm trying to lose weight. You can say that.
Is that what they taught us? I thought they taught us, like, I'm too cool to do drugs.
That was part of it, but there definitely was ones that were, like, excuses that weren't I don't want to drink, but, like, other excuses that were supposed to sound less lame. That was part of it, I remember.
Gotcha.
I mean, you are so taking part in an organized sport. You could be like, oh, it's not good for my inflammation or something. I don't know. I'm trying to recover.
Oh, my inflammation. That's,
they're going to razz you so hard, dude.
Oh, it's not good for my inflammation over here.
They're going to be like, yeah, what's inflamed? Your pussy? You got an inflamed pussy?
Mixed teams. I don't think they're going to go quite that gendered.
Oh, I think the Bush lesbian on the team is going to say that, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, that is a good one. Whatever woman's like, suck my dick or suck my hairy balls or something. That's always fun.
Yeah.
That's always a fun razz.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for the shotgunning thing, I mean, honestly, one of those things where, like, a soda or an NA beer isn't even a better alternative. It still just sucks to have to drink that fast.
Yeah.
I guess it is technically an alternative.
I see why they don't want to do it. I think I would also be like, I'm not going to shotgun a beer. I'll drink a beer slowly with you guys.
Yeah. But I don't even know if the question really has, if like, it seems like it's focused on the shotgunning, which, or does some sort of drinking activity. Do you think that's maybe like an active, like, beer pong or something like that is what they mean? Or,
oh, I thought maybe it was like shots instead.
I don't know if I consider going out to get a beer as a drinking activity, but I don't, I guess it inherently is.
Yeah.
You think they're doing shot. Oh, shout out to, I was actually talking to a bartender the other day, a beer tender, where I was getting a beer, but I noticed that their alcohol-free options were both, it was like a special type of lemonade or a hop water, and they were $2 and $1 respectively. And I was like, shout out to you guys for having NA options that aren't as like the same price as just getting a beer, because that has definitely deterred me on many situations where I'm like, well, at that point, let me get some bang for my buck.
I understand exactly what you're saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you get the NA option?
No, I was there for a beer. I was killing time.
I do find whenever I see like an NA cocktail list, I'm like, just make it simpler.
It's just juice.
I don't need a cocktail of something non-alcoholic. But I guess some people maybe like that because it'll come in the cocktail glass and look like a cocktail, and that's the point.
Yeah, you get a little garnish. Yeah. That's why I always get the mocktail Bloody Marys, just so I can get the full pickle spear and the burger and the fried chicken on top.
And it better be $2 or I'm pissed.
It better be way cheaper than the regular one, because I'm not getting that shot of vodka.
Have we talked about this on pod? I really do not like Bloody Marys. Never been a thing I enjoy.
I don't either. Yeah, because it's funny because it exists in the dichotomy of Bloody Marys and mimosas, and one of them is clearly superior. It's like, do you want to have fun today or do you want to be gross? I need to get a good John Mulaney impression. The two most different options in the world, a Bloody Mary or a mimosa.
Dude, I've stopped ordering any cocktail or beer that bills itself as having anything like jalapeno infused or... flavor.
Oh, you're not doing just, the habanero sculpin?
It tastes you're not doing the bird's fly every south? Time in beer. Every time.
Yeah. Well, jalapeno is funny because it's kind of almost got like a vegetal flavor. Habanero is at least fruity. It kind of makes sense.
Anything that's like spiced in a spicy way that's a drink, I don't like.
Not a spice lord.
And I guess Bloody Marys are a different type of spicy, but it's just, nothing like that. Nothing like that works for me.
It's more like piquant. Yeah. All right, do you want to read the answer?
Yeah. I'm annoyed for you, and I'm inclined to tell you to find a new team that easily respects your drinking decisions the first time you make them. But if you think they warrant your continued presence, here are my suggestions. The next time someone heckles your decision to not drink, tell them, knock it off. I wouldn't hassle you if you didn't want to drink and would appreciate the same courtesy. Say it seriously.
Wow, good script.
And don't make it a request. Hopefully, they're embarrassed by their behavior and stop. When they start getting ready to drink, make yourself scarce. Do a cool down jog. Do some yoga. Read a book. Come back when they're done and you're ready to hang out with them. Enlist an ally, maybe someone else on the team you're close with, or you think would hear you out, or maybe would join you in your anti-shotgunning stance. Let them know what's bothering you, and ask for their backup or interference next time it happens. Yeah, if it really bothers you that much, make it awkward once, and they'll probably stop if they're reasonable people.
Yeah, I guess. I think that would be a story that someone might tell if you make it a little bit too weird, where they're like, yeah, that guy's kind of weird, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to juggle all things with, like, interpersonal. But if it's, like, really gets to you in some sort of way, then, hey, sometimes you got to take the L on making a weird point.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Okay, so the 4 points. Let's see. Or the 3 points. 3 points. One, make it awkward. Two, make yourself scarce during cooldown. So go do something alone.
Oh, or yeah. They're always like, why do they need to take a 20-minute shit at right after every tournament?
I've taken some strategic shits before.
I mean, that's another one where I was saying, like, the casual excuse thing of diet, it could be like, oh, no, this really does not sit on my stomach well right after we exercise. I'm out.
Which
sounds like kind of the real reason. You just think it's unpleasant to drink after a tournament. But that just rounds back around to they'll probably still razz you, and that's all right.
Yeah. You can't let it get to you, or if you do, then you have to have a serious conversation about it, which sounds like a drag.
A drag. So we don't have this with drinking, because I think me and you are usually down for a drink. What about with other drugs? Have you ever... Well, people usually don't push other drugs that hard. Like, if somebody says no, they go, yeah, they have a pretty good reason. Like, it's not good for your health to do other drugs. Like, nobody's ever like, oh, you want to...
What's wrong with ketamine?
Yeah, you want to do ketamine after the tournament? If somebody's like, oh, you want to go out and smoke with me after this? If somebody's like, no, nobody razzes you for that, because it's like, yeah, not everybody wants to be high day to day. But maybe a stonery friend group would.
I thought you meant a cigarette, but yeah, for a stonery. No, you're right. I've turned down weed many a times, and I've never had anyone complain about it.
Yeah.
All right, cool. You want to do a third segment?
For the third segment here, I have a collection. Have you heard of the World Games?
Yeah, you've mentioned them to me recently.
Yeah, so the World Games are kind of billed as the Olympics for sports that don't make the Olympics. They usually happen like a year after, I want to say, the Olympics. And it's for maybe not quite like Ocho sports, but seems like sports that have some sort of formalized tournament structure but don't make the Olympics, you can go play at the
World
Games.
And who introduced you to this?
Oh, it's kind of embarrassing because he's a cringy YouTuber that I do watch sometimes. Do you know Marquise Brownlee? He's the MK...
Oh, the tech dude?
Yeah, the tech dude. He's a professional...
I saw him on Hot Ones.
He's a professional Frisbee player, a professional Ultimate player, and he was going to play in the World
Games.
That's
part of his job?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. I didn't know that. I guess he seems like a fit dude.
So that's how I learned about the World Games, and I went and looked at the list, and I was like, this is pretty cool that there's this whole thing
that's
I never
crazy.
Knew about.
Could you imagine if ContraPoints was on your dodgeball team? That'd be so cool.
I mean, the fact that he's a world-class player, he's playing in the, like, highest level. He went to represent the USA in the World Games while being that famous a YouTuber. Pretty
and
cool.
And he's proud to be an American, where at least he knows he's free.
So what we're going to do is you using the power of stereotyping. So we're going to go through the list of the Birmingham, Alabama World Games winners. And I'm going to give you the sport, a description of the sport, if it's something you're not familiar with. And then give you a list of countries, and you're going to tell me who brought home the gold for that event list of countries using your powers of stereotype of what country you think would be good
or
at that
previous
sport.
Knowledge or deductive reasoning skills. I don't know if it's just my stereotyping powers. I do have a little bit of knowledge about which countries are good at which sports. Number one, Chinese checkers. Ooh, I wonder.
So let's just get into it. Yeah. Which sport took home gold for...
Oh, you know what? We didn't talk about combat sports at all, but yeah, like slapping competitions, arm wrestling, all of that, like kind of secondary fighting definitely fits into this. We just didn't really talk about it that much.
Competitive eating. I'm a little disappointed competitive eating isn't in the World Games.
Oh, yeah. I guess they do get their own venues in some sense. They get their own, you know, Nathan's hot dog competition or whatever. The slap fighting one always is very gruesome to me. I don't like watching that one.
No, because the people look like actually dizzy from it. I'm like, that. This is just competitive CTE. That feels like what's going on here.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't feel nice. So we're going to start with air sports.
Ooh.
Encompasses both drone racing and parachuting.
Mm-hmm.
And the same country took home gold for both of these events, which they don't feel related, so I'm surprised that there's a country that's dominant in both. But which country
was it? It
strikes
me as something that a rich country would be good at or have people who are good at.
Chinese Taipei, France, or Brazil that took home parachuting and drone racing gold.
Oh. My stereotypes about Brazilians, they like having their feet on the ground. My stereotypes about Chinese Taipeians, I don't know. They're good at baseball. And then my stereotype of the French. Yeah, I think the French did that.
You're right. The French took home gold in both events.
Yes. I think it's just the richest country for that one.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I thought Brazil was going to throw you off because it feels like a country that would, I don't know, I thought that would have like a techie sort of, but also because of the mountainous regions, I thought.
Oh, I would have thought not because of the techie, but because it would have been like a kid in the favela who has a really knack talent for it, who comes up and wins it for the country.
For couples, artistic roller skating.
Oh.
Who took home the gold? Poland? The United States or Portugal?
Oh, Portugal's romantic. Polish people are romantic, I guess. Americans are just kind of good at these sorts of things. So it's, what is it? Paired rollerblading? Couples artistic roller skating. I'm gonna give that one to... My ranking would be... Portugal first, Poland second, U.S. third.
You got it, buddy. Portugal took home the gold for couples artistic roller skating.
Not because of my stereotype knowledge, but just because, you know, it seems like they're very graceful people. They're very romantic. I could see it being,
Do you know what a boule sport is?
Boule sport, no.
Yeah, so I think it's derived from the same word as bowling, but that's the name for sports that are like a bocce ball. This is a variant called Pentique doubles.
Pentique.
Yeah.
Doubles.
And so we have Italy, Cambodia, and France.
Okay. Well, Italy obviously invented bocce, and you said bocce like. Pentique sounds French, so it sounds like their variation of it that they would be good at. Petanque. And then Cambodia?
Sorry if I mispronounced it. Petanque. P-E-T-A-N-Q-U-E.
Tank. That sounds French still to me. Cambodia. Ooh. I kind of want to go with France again, but I think that would be boring in the quiz that you made. How many am I doing, by the way?
You know, I didn't number them, but I think probably close to like 20? No, like 15.
Okay. 15. Okay. So I think I can get like 10 of these. I've got two already. I'm going to go with Italy.
I'm sorry, Cambodia took home the gold.
Oh, I didn't even think the Cambodians had it in them.
Next up, we have canoe polo. And for this one, I'm going to tell you that...
Canoe polo.
It's two European countries, the men and the women. One got gold in the men's, and the other country got silver in the men's. But then it flipped for the women's. One country, that same country that got silver in the men's got gold.
So they're good at both.
Yeah, so which two European countries... dominated canoe polo, men and women's.
Canoe polo, okay. Wait, am I just guessing?
Yeah, I gave you Europe as your geographic area.
Okay, canoe polo. Canoe polo. I'm going to guess the Netherlands and Spain.
Sorry, it was Germany and France. Germany took home gold for men's, and France took home gold for women.
Okay, so the French are good at these things. Okay, that's good to know.
Okay.
The Germans kind of make sense.
In the world of fin swimming, which is like other swimming sports, except...
You get the attachments?
You get attachments. 16 events.
Starting to lean into goofier.
There are 16 events in one country dominated, taking home 5 gold. 4 in women's and 1 in men's fin swimming. Which country took home 5 gold in fin swimming? China, Colombia, and Germany.
Okay, so you wouldn't say the correct one first if you were gaming it out. You would try and do that second or third. Germany, Colombia, or China. I know China is pretty good at swimming. So is Germany, though. And then you didn't do an African country to try and get me to do something racist about black people not being able to swim, which I wouldn't say. Colombia, I don't think they make that. I feel like you need to have a certain tallness to be good at swimming, and I feel like Colombia is not a very tall nation. Germany is. China can be. I want to say China, but I think I'm going to go with China.
And you would be right. China took home 5 gold in fin swimming.
Nice.
Okay. Do you know what fistball is?
No, it's fistball.
Fistball actually looks really cool. It kind of looks like volleyball.
Mm-hmm. But you have to punch it?
Except it's a really long, like imagine volleyball, but instead of like, you know, the 20 feet, it's like 40 feet on both ends. And you, after every hit, you get another bounce. So instead of having to like set whatever spike, you can set it, let it bounce once, let the other person. So basically there's a spike on every round. Like if one of your teammates sets it up, it'll bounce one more time. Somebody else can make it bounce once to set it up for the spike. And then somebody will come in and spike it. It looks really cool. The same 3 countries for both men and women took home gold, silver, and bronze in order. I'll give you the 3 countries. Which one took home gold in both events? So we got Brazil, Switzerland, and Germany.
Oh, but these are the bronze, silver, and gold?
Yeah.
Brazil, Switzerland, or Germany? Whew. Germany bronze, Brazil silver, Switzerland gold.
I'm sorry, Germany took home gold.
I didn't believe in the Germans. That's what I get for not believing in the Germans. They proved me wrong.
Okay, this one I'll go ahead and tell you that in the women's, Mexico took home gold for flag football. In the men's, which flag country football took home gold? Mexico, United States, Canada.
I think that one's going to the U.S. That's a very U.S. sport.
Yeah, you got it. I was hoping you would trick yourself into being like, well, why do you give me women's? It must be surprising for... I don't know.
No. I was able to stick to my stereotypes on that one. Although maybe I could have like gotten to myself into like a thing of being like, well, anyone who's good at flag football would rather probably just play football. So maybe the Americans aren't good at it or something like that.
Okay. For inline
which
hockey.
Which YouTuber is on the U.S. national team for flag football?
Oh, that's Drew Gooden.
Is it that chemistry guy? Oh, that's Drew. Oh, that's, yeah, very athletic Drew Gooden.
For inline hockey, which team took home the gold? Ooh. Was it Croatia, Germany, or the USA?
Inline hockey. Croatia, Germany, or the U.S.? Okay. So this seems like another U.S. coded one, but I think I'm going to go with the Czech Republic. Wait, Croatia. That's what you said, Croatia. Oh, wait, maybe if it was the Czech Republic, I'd pick them. I don't know if I'd pick Croatia.
It's Croatia, Germany, and U.S.
You know what? Fuck it. Croatia.
It was the USA.
Damn it. Yeah, that was a very U.S. coded one, too.
Okay, for Ultimate Frisbee, which team took home the gold? And remember, these are mixed teams. Was it Sweden, USA, or Mexico?
Sweden, USA. This also seems like a very U.S. coded one. Why don't any of these feel more regional? Like, why aren't they doing any of the wacky European ones for this one? Oh, man. Sweden maybe came up with an upset, but I gotta think that's probably the U.S. Sweden.
It was the USA.
Damn it. Ah, you're fucking me over with all these U.S. ones. Of course we're getting the most medals.
Okay, this one I looked up, but I've forgotten what the score is.
Does Fox News do as much alarmist reporting about how many medals we get in comparison to China for this, or is it just the Olympics?
In the most recent one that happened in China, they blew us out of the water. They took home way more gold than we did.
Sheesh.
sheesh.
Oh, yeah, because then it becomes a thing where people start arguing about total metal count versus golds or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A korfball, which is a... looks like a... it's like a basket game that kind of looks like basketball, but it's like outside. This might be one where you have to Google it to get a sense of what it looks like. It kind of looks like a tetherball pole, but there's like a bucket at the top.
What is it called?
Korfball, K-O-R-F-B-A-L-L.
Korfball National Champions. Oh, yeah.
We have the Netherlands, the USA, or the United Kingdom.
Okay, well, I did definitely see on the AI overview when I looked it up that it was invented in the Netherlands. Is that cheating? Is it the Netherlands?
It is the Netherlands. Okay, well,
they invented it, so...
you have a 5 with an asterisk. 5.
Oh, okay, all right. You're the one who recommended I Google it.
In life-saving sports, which basically amounts to what looks like... there's obstacle swimming, but there's also, like, swimming with a mannequin. Is kind of what the life-saving sports look like. There's a bunch of different categories of men's and women's obstacle swimming and swimming while carrying a mannequin. Which country dominated with 9 golds? Was it Germany, Italy, or Poland?
Okay, so for life-saving swimming sports and yes. obstacles? Okay, it's not Italy. It might be Poland or Germany.
They don't save lives in Italy. They're just like, learn
they
to swim better.
They don't give a shit. Yeah. Like, you should have waited 30 minutes after having your affogato. I mean, Germany wins so many, it's a safe bet, but you keep throwing the Polish in there, and I wonder why. Yeah, Germany.
Germany.
Hey, all right, come on now.
Orienteering also has a dominant country in its 5 events. One country took home gold in 3 of the orienteering competitions.
Is that navigation or what is that?
Yeah, so it's like compass map race, basically.
Oh, okay. So it's the Amazing Race. Okay.
There's a sprint, a middle distance, and a mixed relay. Which country took home 3 gold in those events? Was it New Zealand, Norway, or Switzerland?
New Zealand's an interesting one because maybe they'd have to be good navigators because they have to, in order to get anywhere from New Zealand, you have to know where to sail.
They're not sailing, though. This is on foot.
Yeah, but the skills are applicable either way. And this is New Zealand and Switzerland. No, Sweden?
Yeah,
Sweden,
and Norway. New Zealand, Norway, Switzerland.
Norway. Okay. Norway, I could see liking the regulations around using a compass to find your way around. Switzerland. They do a lot. They probably make the world's best compasses.
Ooh.
Switzerland.
Switzerland it is. You are at 7.
Hey, there we go. Come on now.
In sumo.
Couldn't you see them making like a really fancy compass?
It's not just the one on the knife. It's not just the one on the top
no,
of the
No, it's not just
Swiss
the one
Army
that's
knife.
On the Swiss Army knife.
In sumo, who took home the gold? Japan, Ukraine,
or Australia?
Oh, I think
I might actually know this. Oh, I thought you were going to say something like Czechoslovakia or like Bulgaria. I feel like those countries are really big into sumo in a weird way. Ukraine or Australia? I know Ukraine's also very big on it.
Oh, and sorry, can I go ahead and say that this is the most golds in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, in the 8 competitions. This team dominated with 4 of the golds.
I think I'm still going to go with Ukraine.
I'm sorry, the Ukraine only got 3 of those golds. Japan took home 4 golds in sumo.
Oh, when I really should have used my stereotype knowledge instead of having the added knowledge that I have of who likes to do sumo.
I'm surprised you knew that. How'd you know Ukraine liked sumo?
I feel like I've heard someone talk about it before on like a podcast or something.
For the women's outdoor tug-of-war event, which team took home the gold? Was it Chinese Taipei, France, or Brazil?
For women's outdoor?
Yeah, 540 kilograms.
Because women's indoor is the Netherlands, right? Okay. And this isn't one of those things where it's like a video from a zoo where it's like 10 strong guys not being able to tug of war a tiger?
No, it's playing against another team.
Okay. And my options are Chinese Taipei.
France and Brazil.
France or Brazil. For the women's.
Yeah.
There's a lot of thick thighs in Brazil. There's a lot of strength down there. I'm going to go with Brazil.
It was Chinese Taipei.
Ah, sapo.
Which country took home the most golds for water skiing?
How many more do I have left, and how many do I have?
2 more. This one and another one.
Okay, and how many points do I
have? You can tell we're going alphabetically. We got to water skiing. You have 7 points.
Oh, so I can't win. Damn. 7 points with an asterisk. Rip-row.
For water skiing sports, these include things like tricks, waterboarding, and jump, men and women's.
Hmm.
We have Chile, Canada, and the United States.
Chile, Canada, and the United States. Oh, let's give this one to the Canucks. Let's do it for the Canadians.
I'm sorry, I thought this one you had to use your power of stereotypes on, and Americans love...
Is it the U.S.? Yeah.
It's the U.S. God, we love our lake sports, man.
That's true. That's true. Should have known.
And for 5 points, if you can put them in order, in wheelchair rugby, who took home gold, silver, and bronze? Great Britain, Japan, and Germany.
In wheelchair rugby?
Yes.
So bronze, silver, and gold. Japan, Great Britain, and...
Germany.
Well, in Japan, they have those really cool, super technical wheelchairs that have, like, laser beams and, like, hoverboards on them. So that probably helps.
Oh, you think they're Professor Xavier?
Yeah, in Great Britain, they have the NHS, which gives everybody who needs it access to really nice wheelchairs, so they have more of a pool of people who are able to play the game.
The NHS is known for being great at that type of stuff. People don't complain about them all the time.
And in Germany, they ski a lot, so you get a lot of people who are paralyzed from the waist down. So that increases their pool of people to play this sport. So, from bottom to top, Japan, Britain, Germany.
No.
No, wait. No, wait.
Okay. Edit it.
I want to switch Germany and Great Britain.
Another asterisk, because that would get you the 5 points.
Okay, see, at the very last second, I was like, wait, the Brits just like rugby better, though. That's got to be on them. Plus the NHS, like I said.
All right, I'll let you decide if you take that. In the spirit of the game, as they have in Ultimate Frisbee, this is an unrefed game, so if you think you deserve that W, you can have it.
I think I'm going to take that W. I think that was pretty good.
Also, I said them in the right order when I read them out to you, but that didn't fuck with your brain at all. I was hoping when I said, oh, who took home in what order the gold, silver, and bronze, Great Britain, Japan, and Germany, you'd be like, oh, he wouldn't give it to me in the right order.
No, I didn't even think about that. I didn't think you'd be playing mind games like that.
Yeah, I know. I overthought that.
All right. Wow, that was fun. I think I learned a lot. I was hoping, I guess it is technically an Olympic sport, but I was hoping you were going to go with the one sport that I know Guatemala's good at, but
I guess
we probably aren't going to. Is it speed walking or power walking? What do they call it? Speed walking, Guatemala's really good at.
This was all for the Birmingham World Games in Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. The last one in Chengdu, China. China took home 36 gold with a total of 64 medals. And the second place team was Germany, which took home 17 gold with 45 medals. The U.S. came in sixth place with 11 gold and 28 medals.
Dang, dog.
But, you know, home field advantage. I'm sure China could field a lot more players.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Yeah.
USA.
You and I'm
proud. It's not the Chinese century yet, man. We're still number one for a while, right?
Yeah. America number one.
America number one. That's my
America,
big fact.
America Ichiban.
America Ichiban. Big fact. Big fact.
And my no cap is... And I'm proud to be an American, or at least I know I'm free.
Sometimes.
Unless I'm trying to go to a Five Guys in D.C.
In which case, I have to show ID and prove that I'm a citizen.
All right. Bye.
Bye.